Today, we have our third candidate, Michael Maher. Mike is a candidate for our senior minister position. He served in ministry and leadership for more than 15 years and has experience as a senior minister at the Church of Christ in Cincinnati and Midtown Church of Christ in Racine, as well as more recent ministry work at the Milford Church of Christ. In those roles, he preached weekly, helped guide congregational vision, led outreach efforts, worked with the staff and lay leaders in both spiritual and organizational development. His application materials reflect a strong commitment to biblical teaching and preaching, evangelism, disciple-making, pastoral care, and collaborative leadership under the oversight of the elders. Michael holds a BA in religious studies, a master's in nonprofit leadership, and in recent years he has also been involved in nonprofit consulting work along with his ministry. Oh, and also he's a doctoral candidate in public policy and administration. When Mike is married to Angel, and they have two beautiful children, Natalie and Abigail, and I encourage you after worship that meet him. There'll be a brief meeting, meet and greet, and we encourage you to take a few moments, introduce yourself to him, and get to know him a little better. And also a feedback survey will also be sent out later today by Care Mail. So please give a welcome to Mike.
All right. Somebody ought to say amen. Are you happy to be in the house of God this morning? Yeah, if you can, just wave your hand, just raise your hand if you're happy to be in the house of God. If you're raising your hand, it means God is good, so you should do that. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It was the wise man David who said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And so we're thankful to Almighty God to be here on this morning. And I'm thankful that this 24th day of May has been provided to all of us to unite in this corporate worship service together as we lift our praise and our celebration to Almighty God. Just for a second, can we give a hand clap or a love deposit to our search committee? Can we do that this morning? A lot of tireless nights, a lot of talking, a lot of politicking in order to help this church find the next senior minister. I do appreciate them for the work and the time that they've put into this. All of the families who comprise the senior minister committee, they have done a marvelous job. Can we also give a love deposit to our elders? Is that all right this morning? Amen. Under their leadership and foresight, even though we're sad that Eddie will be transitioning, his shoes are shoes that I don't want to feel because they are amazing shoes. I find it an honor to even stand in the place where he preaches and to be able to preach the gospel where I have heard him preach the gospel. Can we give Eddie and Karen a hand clap of praise? To say that they will be missed is an understatement. They have dedicated their lives to the service of God, and their work in the kingdom of God in this location, not simply in preaching, but the way that Eddie and Karen have pastorally watched over people, prayed with people, loved on people, the way that you love them. They told me one of y'all took them to Hawaii. But they also told me about intimate moments that you've had with them. And it touched me and my wife very personally to know that this is a church that not just talks love, but acts on the love they say they have. And so I want to thank you for that. And then, if you don't mind, Will you give yourself a hand clap of praise for enduring this search process? It's not easy to go through these things. And you've been guided quite well. And the fact that you're still adamant and passionate for the Lord through this process shows great, great development that the leadership here has had in working with this church. Okay, I hope you don't put that on my time. Sarah, where are you? Phil, where are you? You are time sticklers. I would invite you very quickly to open your Bibles if you have one. I just have a phone. I'm sorry. I just got a phone. And if you got a Bible, I want you to meet me at John chapter 4. I only need one verse. I only need one verse. Of course, I would be remiss if I do not introduce the best thing that ever happened to me. Now, you don't have to agree, but she's the best thing that happened to me. So I could be biased when I say this. And so I'm thankful that Angel is here. I found an angel. Amen. Few men can say that they have found an angel, and I found an angel. She came all the way down from heaven. So thankful for my wife. And then also my two beautiful kids, Natalie, 18. She's about to graduate on next week. Amen. Amen. And then also my 14-year-old, she's graduating from the eighth grade. Amen. So I'm almost free from children. Well, at least I got somebody to laugh on that. Amen. John chapter 4. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, I want to thank you for being here with us. You are indeed our honored guest, and we're thankful that you're here at the Eastside Church of Christ. We believe in serving God, serving others, and serving each other. And we do that in a way that will allow us to have richer lives in the kingdom of God. And if you're here and you're visiting with Eastside for the very first time, you are an honored guest. We are so thankful that you're here this morning. You couldn't have chose a better place to be than the Eastside Church of Christ. Amen? And so we're happy that you're here this morning. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And I'm going to try to stick to my notes. I was dared, two things. One, I also want to give acknowledgement to our hand sign individuals who've been doing it. What a wonderful job. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. I'm going to talk slow because she told me to. Number two, is it okay this morning? Is it okay? I don't want to do anything presumptuous. Is it okay if I come down here with you this morning? I just want to make sure. Is that okay? I don't want to scare anybody. But sometimes, you know, yeah, up here, I think I'll just come down here. Let's talk for a minute. John 4. Ooh, you got it on the screen. Good job, AV. John chapter 4. Let's read 28 through 30. Doesn't matter what version of the Bible you have. They're all good to get you to glory. Amen. Let's read. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. I want to emphasize just the top part, if you don't mind. The woman, underline this, whether you got a pen or a highlighter, underline this. The woman left her water jar beside the well. The woman left her water pot beside the well. That's it right there. That's it. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Here's what you could put if you're taking notes. Here's a title for the message. Something, here's the title, something worth leaving your water pot for. That's the title. That's the title. Something worth leaving your water pot for. I've studied this text all my life growing up in the church. I love this text. John 4 is one of my favorite passages of scripture. And for me, personally, what really gets my juices flowing when I study the book of John chapter 4 and verse number 28 is that water jar in that text. That water jar is very interesting, right? I mean, you don't have to say anything, but just nod your head if you're with me so far. If you don't shake your head when I'm talking, I'm going to preach really long. So if you smile and nod your head, we could get through this together. Say amen if you can. Amen. I don't want to be up here this long, neither do you. Something's interesting about those water pots, isn't it? When I read it, every time I read it, what's remarkable is the water pots. Well, somebody here might be asking, well, Mike, what do you find so interesting about these water pots, right? Well, I guess I want to get to it this way. My question would be, what would be so important that a woman from the Samaritan area would leave her water pot at a well? Now, that might not seem important because we're in this high-tech age, but in her time, that is quite striking. What happened to this woman? What happened to this woman that made her leave her water jar beside the well? What transformed her life? What happened to her that made her leave what was the most essential thing during that time period at the well? I say that because, if you want to know, in first century in that area, water pots, water jars were like life. You use the water pot or a water jar because it was your access to the life of water. Now, I know Colorado ought to understand water. I'm going to say it again since nobody said anything over there. I know Colorado Springs should definitely understand the essentialness of water. And in their time period, the well, a water source, was their tether to their existence. If they didn't have water, they couldn't survive. If they didn't have water, they couldn't live. They couldn't exist. And women in that time normally went to places like wells in order to get water so that they would have water for the day. As a matter of fact, they would go two times a day. They would go in the early morning and they would go in the late afternoon in order to get water for their household. So why did she leave the jar behind? If it's so important, right, why did she leave it behind? And I want to suggest to you that there are some things in life so important, so essential, so valuable that they're worth leaving behind for something that's greater than that. Okay. Let's open the door a little bit further. The woman's water jar that we're talking about in this text, right? Everybody with me? It weighed 45 to 60 pounds. Bill, can you do me a favor real quick? Can you come here? Praise God. So everybody give Bill a round of applause. Come here, Bill. Alan, can you come here for a second real quick? Just everybody give Alan a round of applause. Amen. Bill, if you don't mind, I want you to try to pick Alan up. And you've already committed. And Bill, I want you to carry Alan from here to here. Can you do that for me, Bill? Amen. I want you to pretend like you're carrying all of Alan. Amen. Look at that. Won't God do it? You can go back to your seats. Thank you very much. The point was, is I was trying to show you how heavy it was to carry a water pot. And of course, without shaming anyone, Alan is not the same size of a water pot. But you get the idea. Imagine having to carry a water pot. And these are not stone jars. We know historically these are clay jars that she's carrying. Imagine having to carry 60 pounds by yourself every single day, twice a day. Imagine having to carry a jar 60 pounds by yourself every day to the well one time and then a second time. Imagine what that does. Oh, you're not hearing me yet. Well, that water jar, which was 45 to 60 pounds, because it was heavy, so heavy, along with the water that was inside it, these women during that time would carry, watch this, write this down, they would carry the water pot on their shoulders. Oh, I wish I had a church already. They would carry the water pots on their shoulder or on their head. I want you to see this if you can. Every day of that woman's life, she would have to toil carrying a clay jar 45 to 60 pounds on her shoulder, on the top of her head, and she would walk to the well every single day. Can you see it this morning? She's walking to the well every day. Every day she walks back and forth two times a day carrying that much weight on her shoulder, and she carries it because she believes that that jar on her shoulder is her key to her existence. That jar, that weight that's on her shoulder is her key to life. So she carries 60 pounds on her shoulder. I hope somebody can see what I'm saying right now, because what I understand is that some people are carrying a weight on their shoulder, and the weight they're carrying on their shoulder, they have been carrying it back and forth, to and fro throughout their life, and they have not rested one time, because the burden that's on their shoulder they believe is essential for their life. And I wish I had a church here this morning who could understand that when I meet Jesus, when I come into contact with the Savior, I can put down what I've been carrying on my shoulder. I can lay it down at his feet, and I can walk away to remember it no more. I'll say amen all by myself. Number two, so when I come to Jesus, he allows me to put down what I've been carrying. When I come to the King, he allows me to put down what I don't care. How much more time do I have? Am I out of 30 minutes already? Okay. Number two, bless you. Number two, watch it. In the first century, that jar is important. Not only did she have to carry it, right? But because it's clay, oh, it's significant. Alan, you don't even want to hear this. You don't want to see how significant that is. Should I tell them how significant it is? Alan, in first century times, the Jew and the Gentile had ideals about water jars. And in their mind, in their understanding, in their cultural idea, it was seen as a taboo. A taboo means as something wrong to carry a clay jar. Write that down. If you got a marker, write it down. Lipstick, write it down. Put it on your refrigerator. It was seen as a taboo to carry a clay water jar. Why is that? Because in the first century, the religious practices of the Jew and the Gentile of that region only used stone jars because they believed that stone jars kept away impurity. And so if you carried a clay jar, they believed it was a sign of your impurity or your sinlessness. Mercy, God. In other words, this woman not only carried a water pot every single day, on her shoulders back and forth to this well in order to get water from the well, but what she was carrying in the eyes of other people, she was not just carrying a jar, but it signified to people, because she carried a clay jar, that she was was also carrying sin. It was also showing she was carrying impurity. Oh, I wish I had a church in here. And when she comes to that well, the reason she comes to that well is because she's by herself. She comes in the wrong time of the day. And the reason she does is because it's an indication about how everyone felt about her life. And sometimes, not only are you carrying the weight of the world, but you're also carrying the sin on your shoulder, the sin of impurity on your life. And I just want to declare to somebody, what makes Jesus so amazing? What makes Jesus so real? Why do I get excited about the King? It's because when she met Jesus, not only did she put down the jar, but the jar signified that she also put down and walked away from her sins. Now, Alan, I got to say something else. These jars are really important. This is between you and me, okay? Those jars are really important. And you want me to tell you why? Because that is a theme in John's gospel. Yeah. The first time we hear about jars in the scripture was when Jesus did his first miracle. In John, oh, I see somebody shaking their hand. They know where I'm going. In John chapter 2, you better hold on for this one. You better hold on to this one. Hold on to your seat. Buckle your seatbelt. In John chapter 2 was the first time we ever saw something with clay jars. As a matter of fact, John 2 says that in the corner of this Jewish house, there were six water pots, some of your translations say made of stone, but we know historically that they would have been made of clay. Don't hold on, don't miss your shout. Don't miss your shout. When Jesus does his miracle of the water into wine, he does it in six water pots. Well, in Jewish numerology, the number six was the number for man. He put in 20 to 30 firkins of water in John 2. And in that means there was 120 firkins put into six water pots. In Jewish numerology, how they view numbers, 120 was the number of the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 2, you are not just seeing a miracle of Jesus turning water into wine. You are seeing Jesus take that which is out of earth, which is clay, and now putting his spirit inside of clay, which was Jesus' way of showing his greatest work was going to be inside of human flesh and putting the spirit inside of us. And so in John chapter 4, we are seeing the Lord work the miracle that he worked in John 2. Now he's doing it in the life of this woman. And when, can I say one more thing? I get excited about this. She left the water pot at the well. So how did she leave with water? Hold on, don't you just answer it like that. She left the well without a water pot, but she left with water. Whoa, let me ask another question since you're already with me. The book says in John chapter 4, Jesus had nothing to draw water with. So how did he fill her with water? I want to tell you one more thing before I go because I see my time is expiring. Can I tell you also that the well she's at is Jacob's well? You knew you knew that, right? Could I tell you that in Jewish culture, Jacob's well was stagnant water? Did you know that? Can I tell you something else? That Jacob's well was not only stagnant water, but in the Jewish and Gentile culture of the Samaritan, that in their culture, stagnant water was impure, was not preferred, and they preferred to not drink stagnant water because stagnant water was prone to disease. Stagnant water was prone to issues. And so they preferred actually drinking fresh water, water that came from a spring. A better word is living water. And so that woman went to a well, and the water she was about to drink from could never satisfy her thirst. The water she was going to drink from was stagnant. It wasn't fresh. It wasn't flowing. She needed a water that only God could provide. It's not a water that comes from a well. It's not a water that's in your jar. Break it down, Brother Moore. It's not a water that's at your home or on your job or at the club or in the bars. It's not a water that you'll find anywhere else except in Christ Jesus. And I declare to you on this morning, what makes Jesus so amazing is that when you come to him bearing your burden on your shoulder, when you come to him bearing the weight of life, when you come to him with your impurity and your sin, you can walk away not carrying the burden. You can walk away not carrying the sin. You can walk away and never have to worry about water ever again in your life, because Jesus provides you with living water, and the living water is the Holy Spirit coming outside of your life. And that's why, if you're here today, you ought to give your life to Jesus. Like so many others in this room, if you're here today and you've been carrying a weight on your shoulder, how does Mike know that I've been carrying it away? Because all of us carry weights on our shoulder. You're not the first person who's going to come into this auditorium bearing a burden. You're carrying it all by yourself. You think nobody knows, but God sees even in your private hours. And this morning, you came all the way to the house of God because you were looking for answers. You were praying to the Lord, how do I get this burden off my shoulder? You don't know how to articulate it, but you just know it's time for you to make a change. And you came down to Eastside, praise God. You came to the well, and you didn't come here just so that you could view what they were doing at the building. You came looking for living water. And my friends, if you're here, this place is a place that flows with the living water that only Jesus can provide. I would be remiss as I close to not tell you how to come to Jesus. If you're here and you're carrying the burden, you can lay it at his feet. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke, drop your burden, and pick up my yoke. Well, why would I want to do that? Why would I put down my own burden in order to take another? Here's the answer. He says it because my burden is light. What a difference. That's why she could run back to her town, because she was no longer carrying the weight. This morning, if you're here and you're not submitted your life to Christ, I want to tell you to come to Jesus. There's ways that you could come to Jesus. We believe here that faith in Jesus as your Lord in Christ, that it culminates in an act of faith in you being buried in the watery grave of baptism. And the Bible says that when you're baptized, you are raised a new creation. Hold it. Don't shout just yet. The best part is he says, old things, repeat it with me, have passed away, and behold, all things become new. You're here this morning, you want a new start? You need a new moment? You're tired of carrying it on your shoulder? This is the time to come to Jesus. I want to pray with you this morning that the message that was just preached will find good soil in your heart, that it'll find a resting place in your heart. For children of God, that message should excite you, because you are a container of living water. And as the scripture said, I just want you to hear this, when you got water that good, you can't hold it to yourself. I don't want to say anything, but Bill, the executive chef, you know who I'm talking about, he cooked me some bland cauliflower and carrots with onions. And it was so good that I was trying to get other people to eat it. Because when you get something good, something that tastes good, You want to go around and tell everybody else. So if you're a child of God and you have living water in you, don't keep it to yourself. This week, even today as you leave this auditorium, take your living water and do just like that woman did. Tell everybody, come see a man. God bless you this morning. Shall we pray? Just grab a hand of a person that's next to you. Unless you got measles or something that don't exist, just grab hands of something. The praise team is coming. The praise team is coming. You have an opportunity to come to Jesus this morning. Everything we do here is to give people an opportunity to come to Christ. Everything we do is about giving people a chance to find their Savior. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for this moment. We don't ask for anything else but for you to do what you've done time and time again. Let your word work. Let your will be done. Let your spirit move powerfully. And even today, we believe the word that saved that woman then is the same word that can save us now. We thank you and we love you. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.